Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Just like Ben said, it's a challenge to come in here and try and turn around.
It's not going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. We're going to have mess-ups. We're going to have mistakes. I think the bad teams, they come on out there and they say, oh, we're just one-off on this play, and then another guy takes his turn, we're one-off on this play. Really, the good teams, when they have mistakes, their buddies cover it up for them.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Go Bears!
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. This is episode 100 of the podcast. Very exciting. And I don't think there's been a more frequent guest than Herb Howard from the Bigs joining me once again. Herb, what's up, man?
Let's go. I'm proud of that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I always appreciate you jumping on. And I was at Halas Hall, finally made it up to training camp. And I picked a good day to show up, Herb, because the last 8, 9, 10 years of me going up to Bears practice, I've never seen anything like what we saw during Tuesday's practice, which was essentially full go start to finish, tackling to the ground, live tackling, all of that good stuff. It was intense, Herb.
Very similar to football,
yeah,
which is a great thing. Right, you don't often get to see that in practice, but you can tell from the outset of practice that the intensity was high. It was going to be highly competitive. It got chippy. It got chirpy. We saw no less than 4 or 5 physical altercations. Like, guys were really going after each other. And I think, you know, it's kind of par for the course a little bit, just where they are in camp. Guys are tired of hitting the same people. It's hot. You're irritated. But for the coaches to encourage that level of physicality and to let it keep going on and on and on and continue to have live periods of teams, 7-on-7 even, 11-on-11. So it was refreshing to see the guys really got after it. And I think it kind of set a tone for who they can grow into.
One reporter I was talking to was referring to it not as training camp but as boot camp. And I realized the day I showed up they were live tackling and hitting and all of that. But it just feels different, man. And I know many of you who have been there from the start have noticed a difference with Ben Johnson, even just in the offseason hearing him talk. And I get it. Let's see how, if there's a nasty losing streak or things don't go well, everything changes. Vibes are high right now, all of that. But Ben Johnson is bringing a different sort of attitude to Halas Hall these days.
Yeah, and it seems authentic, and I'm also waiting to see if there's a change in his demeanor when there's a 2, 3, 4 game losing streak, whatever it may be. But I do believe this is his authentic self. I do believe that he's going to continue to set the standard high, hold guys accountable, not walk past mistakes. This seems to be who he is, and in terms of, you know, his demeanor at his press conferences, he seems to be very transparent, very honest. He doesn't mind calling things as he sees them, whether it's a mistake, calling guys out, right? He seems to be about that in the interest of building the best team that he possibly can. So hopefully he continues to be that type of person, both in his press conferences, on the practice field, and we got to wait to see what he's like on game day. That's the whole another component that we don't know about, right? Everybody's kind of thinking what they're going to see. I mean, we don't really know what it's going to be like on game day, but I think that we have gotten a pretty good glimpse of who Ben Johnson is as a football coach, and I think it's been very, very refreshing.
We'll get into Caleb and some other players as well, but I will say, going back to just the high intensity of practice, one thing that's really hard to evaluate during training camp is the run game, because they are rarely tackling to the ground. And yesterday was full tackling to the ground, and they started with short yardage situations. We saw a lot of 3rd and short, 4th and short goal line situations. And I thought it gave us a good glimpse into the run game. And it's just one practice, but one of my evaluations yesterday was DeAndre Swift looked pretty good, busted out a couple of big runs. And you actually get a better feel of the run game as opposed to when they're not tackling or when it's defensive players just putting two hands on a running back. It's really hard to tell if it would have been a 2-yard gain or a 20-yard gain without looking at tape. But just sitting there and watching a camp without tackling, very difficult to evaluate the run game. But I thought some encouraging stuff early from the offense. Did you see the same?
Yeah, I think the run game has improved throughout camp. When they first started, the defense was dominating. You saw Grady Jarrett up front, Andrew Billings up front, Javon Dexter. You get to those linebackers, TJ and Tremaine. You got Jaquan filling in from the third level. And so the defense was kind of getting the better of them in the run game early. As camp has gone on, you've seen the offensive line build a little bit more chemistry. You've seen the running backs develop a little bit more trust for where those holes are going to be and stay on those tracks. And, you know, a little bit more willingness to hit it up inside from DeAndre Swift. I think when he does that, he finds those lanes, and then he's able to bounce it once he gets to the second and third level. I think you saw a lot of that yesterday. The Bears have been doing a drill throughout camp, but I really don't think I've seen before. They run a 9-on-9 set where the corners are off the field, the receivers are off the field. It's 9-on-9. They're condensed formations. Nobody's outside the tight end, and it is inside run. You know it's inside run. Defense knows it's inside run, and let's see what it's going to be. And I think you get a hat on a hat and then try to move guys off the ball. And like I said, initially, moving Andrew Billings and Grady Jarrett was difficult, but yesterday you start to see the offensive line open up those holes. Jonah Jackson was back in there. He had missed a few days. He was back in there. They were able to open up some of those holes, and the running back, DeAndre Swift, they're hitting it in there. We saw Roshon Johnson getting the end zone a couple of times down the goal line drill. That's really, really refreshing. We know that Coach Johnson wants to run the ball and use the running game to set up everything he does in the passing game. They're going to have to establish the run. They're going to have to be able to move guys off the line of scrimmage on a consistent basis, and they're starting to see the Bears do that against a pretty good run defensive front on the other side of the ball.
I know fans were disappointed with his first season. I know he was disappointed in his first season in Chicago, but they have experience together. I think one guy who's really going to benefit from Ben Johnson's offense is DeAndre Swift. I do. I just think Johnson's going to find he's too explosive. He's too fast to not utilize him in this offense. And I just think Ben Johnson's going to find a way to maximize his value compared to last year, where wasn't the best season for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I think that DeAndre Swift has a very unique skill set, and he's got a very deep tool bag. And I think just last year was so much dysfunction that it was hard to define anybody's role on the team. It was hard to figure out what the Bears' identity was or what they even wanted it to be. And I think that, you know, maybe unfairly, DeAndre Swift has been so heavily criticized this offseason and was criticized throughout last season as though he was playing in a different system than Caleb Williams or Cole Kmet. All of these guys suffer. All of these guys did not play up, you know, to their potential or to their highest level because there was so much dysfunction around them. There was poor play on the offensive line in front of them. And if we can recognize those things when we're trying to say, hey, Caleb Williams can play better, but these things were happening around him that caused some of those things. I think you have to consider that for the running back too, right? So I think that DeAndre Swift has a very good skill set. I don't think he's afraid to run up the middle. I love his burst and explosion, his ability to bounce outside once he gets to second, third level. But I like everything he brings to the table. I think he's going to have a really big season for the Bears this year.
So let's get to Caleb. And one thing that I don't think we've talked about enough, considering the dysfunction of last year and the losing streak and coaches were getting fired, and Caleb had a pretty good rookie year, Herb. He did. I mean, numbers-wise, pretty good. Was it great? No. And I'm not trying to lower the standard and make it sound like it was better than it was. But he did a good job not turning the ball over. Late in games, I have a lot of faith in Caleb. You think about the Washington game, you know, the comeback against Green Bay. Twice, really, drove him. You know, that first one had the block kick, the Minnesota game. Even the Detroit game, where the head coach couldn't call a timeout. I just feel like I just feel he still got that timeout with him, by the way. I just think, I don't know, maybe we thought the expectations were so high going into last year, and maybe fans thought it was going to be even better than it was. But I think overall for a rookie quarterback, and I get it, Heisman, number one overall pick, all that stuff, it was a pretty solid season for Caleb Williams. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you saw his full skill set on display. You saw the arm talent. You saw his poise under pressure in some of those late game situations, his athletic ability, his ability to elude the rush, get outside the pocket, make throws on the run. You saw everything that you thought he could do. And now it's about, you know, growing into an NFL quarterback to where those small things, you start to see those things kind of go away, right? You start to see some of the better decision-making in those types of situations. So I think that, you know, if you like Caleb coming into his rookie year, nothing happened during his rookie season to take away from that. You still have to believe that he's immensely talented. You know he wants to be great. You know he's willing to work at it. And now he's got, you know, competent coaching around him, a system that he can grow into, and a lot of talent around him to help him. So you got to feel good about the trajectory of Caleb Williams. Just same thing I said about, you know, DeAndre Swift. All those guys were playing that dysfunction last year. They all suffered from it. Mm-hmm. And I think Caleb did the very best that he could. He started 17 games. We saw some of his best ball late in those games. And so, listen, I think you got to feel pretty good about Caleb Williams going into his second year.
Evaluating in training camp is difficult too, and I know on social media it gets a little crazy because, you know, if a quarterback has a bad day, reporters are going to say a quarterback had a bad day, but there is a lot that goes into it, whether the Ben Johnson wants the defense to put pressure on Caleb, and all of that. Like, we don't know exactly what's going on, but it's also not wrong to just report, hey, the offense looked bad, the defense looked good, or the offense looked good and the defense looked bad. But what has been your evaluation of Caleb on the field, off the field, through the first couple of weeks of camp here?
It's been a struggle. And that's just the reality of the situation. I know, you know, Bears fans want to hear that, you know, Caleb Williams is lighting it up and this offense is a well-oiled machine and they're going to come out and lighten up the scoreboard on everybody. Right now, that's just not the case. And that's, to me, that's to be expected. He's learned the new system again, right? He had two different play callers last year. You talk about, you know, having come out of college and now he's learned another system again. And so, like, it just takes some time. So right now he's struggling. The defense is a veteran defense. They've been ahead. The offense is starting to gain its footing. They're starting to catch up. They're starting to win more and more periods in practice. But, you know, the honest, like, observation is that he's struggled, right? That's just the reality of the situation. Not to say he hasn't had some decent days or he hasn't made some good plays or some good throws. He has. But by and large, it's been a struggle for them as they try to put this offense together. And to me, that was kind of to be expected. I kind of expected them to kind of struggle through this thing through at least that week four when they get to the bye week to try to figure out, okay, what do we like? What do we do well? What do maybe we need to get rid of, right? That doesn't mean they can't win those games. It's just not going to be this well-oiled machine where they're just lighting things up. It's going to take a while. It's going to be a process. We heard veteran quarterbacks talk about it can take 2 or 3 years to fully master an offensive system to where you know it the same way the offensive coordinator or play caller knows it. So it's going to take some time. It's been a bit of a struggle for him. But I think you're starting to see signs that he's getting more and more comfortable within the system. You're starting to see him play a little bit faster, kind of match his eyes with his feet, get the ball out on time with accuracy, and that's going to give all those athletes around him the opportunity to catch and run. So the same certainly been a process, but nothing that to me is discouraging. What I don't like is that we live in this culture where everybody wants, you know, these followers and clickbait, and they know everybody wants to hear that Caleb is doing so well. And so you're getting these reports, and I'm standing there, I'm like, well, what practice was I watching then? Like, if the offense was dominating, or if this was, like, what was I watching, right? And, like, I don't know this, I don't know football like Ben Johnson, but I know it better than most people. And it's like, well, you see some of these reports, and like, well, I don't know what we're watching. So, I think, you know, certainly tons of reasons for optimism, but it's been a struggle.
Yeah, and it's just, look, it's that social media. If Caleb did something incredible in camp and somebody posts about it, it's going to go crazy because fans are going to be pumped. And if Caleb has a bad day and it's posted he had a bad day, fans are going to say, it's just training camp. This is overblown, you know, so that's just social media. But no, I'm with you. And I did say at the start of camp, like, I understand this is a process and it's a new head coach. I want to see a fast start to begin the regular season. And I'm normally the guy who's like, let's be patient. It is year two. He does have a lot of the same weapons around him. It's a rebuild offensive line that looks a lot better, at least on paper. You have the head coach who is regarded as one of, if not the best play callers in all of football. Let's not come slow out of the gates to begin the season, you know, and I'm not hitting the panic button or anything, but I think there's the reasonable expectations should be a pretty fast start for this offense, even though everything you just laid out, that it is a new offense and all of that. I'm not finding a ton of excuses. Like, I think this, I want to see them come out hot to begin the year.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see that too, but to me, the process just kind of leads me to believe that it's going to be a little bit of a longer runway on that takeoff, and I think that's okay, right? You can still find a way, you know, to get to 3-1, you know, through your first four, at least 2-2 minimum, and you know, you kind of just keep taking off and going up from there. But I just think it's going to be a process, and it's small things. Not like they don't have the talent or the system or anything like that. I'll tell you what happened with the one thing that bothered me yesterday, and it was situational football, and I've seen it play out a few times throughout camp. Yesterday they were running, they were trying to run a 4-minute drill. They had about 2 minutes and 24 seconds left on the clock. The offense had the ball with a 1-point lead. The defense had one timeout. Obviously the offense is trying to sit on the ball, in the ball with the game. Defense is trying to get the ball back, maybe win it with a field goal. They run 1 play on first down, and they take the defense's only timeout right at the first down. Defense has no more timeouts, so you're figuring, okay, they're at least going to be able to run this clock down. They've got nothing left but the 2-minute warning. And they make two critical errors on offense. One was mental and immature and selfish from DeAndre Swift. He muffed Dio Odengbo in the face and got a 15-yard personal foul penalty that stopped the clock when it would have been running, right? So that stops the clock. They come back, they run a running play, then it hits the 2-minute warning. On third down, they get to a point where Coach Johnson decides to call a bootleg out to Caleb's left, goes to play action, he gets to the bootleg, he's got a tight end sitting right in his face wide open, he's got another tight end at the second level who's kind of covered. Instead of taking the short throw right in his face, now remember, it's 3rd and 25 after this penalty. Instead of taking the short throw right in his face that was wide open and would have kept the clock running, Caleb tried to make the more difficult throw, which wasn't for 25 yards anyway, it was for like 10 yards or so. It gets batted down, incomplete, clock stops again. They only ran 40 seconds off the clock. It went from 224 to 144 before they had to punt. And it's like, that's a terrible situational football. That's the type of stuff that Coach Belichick would go crazy about. That has to irritate Coach Johnson, too. And those are the things you got to be able to trust your quarterback with. If I'm going to call you a bootleg on you on third down, I need you to make sure we get a completion, or you just take off and take what you can get and keep this clock running. I got to be able to trust you in those situations, because everybody's going to say, well, why call the pass? Just keep the clock running. Well, I'm trusting my quarterback to run his bootleg and take the easy throw in his face, right? And those are the types of things that Caleb just has to get a little bit better at situational. Last week, it was a situation that got down 3rd and goal. He kind of panicked in what was going on, threw the ball away to nobody in the middle of the pocket, intentional grounding, wasted down, drive over. And it was like, those are the types of things that they have to tighten up, because those are the types of things that kill drafts. It's not just Caleb. Like I said, DeAndre Swift was a huge culprit in that too, but those are the types of things that will stop you from putting up, you know, 28-30 and leave you with, you know, 17 to 20 points.
All the great quarterbacks find ways late in games. Hopefully Caleb can do that for a long time here in Chicago. Ben Johnson said to be determined on playing time for starters on Sunday. We have the joint practice coming up Friday. Which should be fun to watch. What's normally your thoughts on playing time for starters in preseason? How much you want to see from Caleb and most of the starters?
Yeah, I'd like to see him play. You're down to 3 preseason games. I'd like to see him play a quarter, but the NFL has just kind of trended to a place where they don't do that anymore, and so I'm not really expecting to see most of them play. So I think they'll try to get most of their work done on Friday and see what that looks like, ones versus ones with Miami. And then the game will probably be 2s and 3s, and let guys kind of battle out some of these position battles that they're looking at a little bit further down the depth chart. So that's what I'm expecting. I would love to see, you know, Caleb and those guys kind of get out there, live game action, get out there on Soldier Field in front of the Bears fans and play. But if I had to bet on it, I bet they try to get most of their work done in the practice on Friday, and we don't really see them out there in the game.
Before I let you go, Herb, any other players maybe we're not talking about enough or players that have stood out? I will say, just to seeing his overall presence, Grady Jarrett is a unit out there. And it's good to see it's good. He is a monster, and it's good to see Billings back out there. But that was one player I hadn't really seen up close yet. You know, one of the new additions, I'm like, damn, Grady Jarrett is a tank out there. Any other players though? Maybe we're not talking about enough in camp so far.
I'll tell you what, LeSean Wright at corner has turned this into a horse race for who's going to be the starting corner opposite Jalen Johnson whenever he returns, right? I didn't know who Nashawn Wright was coming into the spring. But you look at him and he stands out. He's 6'4", he's got long arms. Like, well, who is that guy? And then they put him in at the start of training camp with the first team because Jalen Johnson wasn't available, where I would have assumed it would have been Tyree Stevenson, Terrell Smith. And no, it's this number 25 guy. It's like, well, who is he? And then he starts to make these plays. He's competing, you know, at the high point of the football. He keeps knocking down passes. He's getting his hands on receivers at the line of scrimmage. I'm like, well, wait a minute. He can play. And you find out he's been with Coach Harris and Dallas before. He's been with him since his rookie year, actually. They've got a really great relationship. Nashawn Wright said Coach Harris, who is the Bears defensive back coach and defensive passing game coordinator, he says that he's learned everything that he knows from Coach Harris. And so this thing has turned into a real competition. He's been very, very impressive. So is Tyreek. I'm not saying Tyreek isn't having a good camp because he also is having a very good camp. But this has turned into a very serious competition. We heard defensive coordinator Dennis Allen say that number two corner spot is completely up for grabs. Those two are in a battle to see who's going to start opposite Jalen Johnson. Sean Wright has had a really good camp.
And I think that's great. I think Tyreek Stevenson needed a competition like this. So that's one big area. The other left tackle, week one starter at left tackle, you still feel good about Braxton Jones there?
I feel the same by Braxton Jones that I've felt for the past couple of years. He's a serviceable tackle, never going to be an all-pro or anything like that. But I think certainly you could do better, but certainly you could do worse. Mm-hmm. The question is whether or not Ozzie Trufillo is better or not. And, you know, I think if it's going to be close, right, if this battle continues to go and it's close, I would say go with the young kid. Let him get out there. If it's close, go with the young kid. Now, if Braxton Jones and his, you know, experience and everything has him ahead, then go with him and let Ozzie learn and wait his turn. But if it's close, you might as well go with the kid. I would still keep Braxton Jones as a swing tackle. I don't know if he has a ton of trade value right now. That may change closer to the trade deadline. Guys have injuries on good teams, and they think, well, where's a veteran left tackle that can come in and play right now? Then Braxton Jones may have some trade value for you. But I think at this time, if Trufillo does win, I don't know that he's going to, but if he does win the starting spot week one, I'd keep Braxton Jones around and then see, you know, what develops closer to the trade deadline. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Braxton Jones win because he's just steady. He's a veteran. He's the guy we've seen him be for the past several years. And I think, you know, that may be better than Ozzie Trufillo right now.
And never enough depth with the offensive line. So that's good problem
Absolutely.
To have. Herb Howard, thank you very much. It was great to see you at Hallis Hall. I'll see you throughout camp as it rolls on. Regular season right around the corner. But that's Herb Howard from the Bigs. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at HerbHoward411. And where else? TheBigs.us. Do I have that right? Where else can people follow your stuff?
Right.
You got it.
Thanks for having me, KP. It's great seeing you have a care.
That is Herb Howard from The Bigs. Thank you for listening. Episode 100 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Thanks again to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. And thank you for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.